ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ॐ नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय Is it as a book stand? Any Bhagavad Gita as it is? Yeah, put that on top. Yeah, that's good. I'll use the whole thing as a book stand. Yeah, that's really good. So, we are indeed fortunate to be here with you wonderful Vaishnavas on this auspicious occasion of the Nama Sankirtan movement. This is the prime benediction for the suffering humanity. Of course, we're not suffering, are we? None of us here is suffering, right? That's for the other people. We're already liberated, right? Completely beyond all suffering conditions of existence. Our minds are always ecstatic. Every word that comes out of our mouth is pure Krishna Katha. And every action we perform with our body is pure bhakti. And if not, then we have to do our homework and stick to our duty here to become good students of the science of bhakti. Therefore, we will study tonight from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 14. Satatam kirtana kirtayanta mam yatanta cha vridha vritha namasyanta cha mam bhaktya nityayukta Bhasate Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantascha Dridhavritha Namashantascha Mam Bhaktya Nityayukta Upasate Satatam Kirtayanto Mam
Satatam Kirtayanto Mam
Yatantascha Dridhavritha
Yatantascha Dridhavritha
Namashantascha Mam Bhaktya
Namashantascha Mam Bhaktya
Nityayukta Upasate
Nityayukta Upasate
Satatam Kirtayanto Mam
Satatam Kirtayanto Mam
Yatantascha Dridhavritha
Yatantascha Dridhavritha
Namashantascha Mam Bhaktya
Namashantascha Mam Bhaktya
Nityayukta Upasate
Nityayukta Upasate
Anyone else lead? Satatam kirtayanto mam Namatantascha dridhavritha Namashantascha mam bhaktya Nityayukta upasate
Satatam
kirtayanto mam
Yatantascha
dridhavritha Namashantascha mam bhaktya
Nityayukta upasate
Satatam kirtayanto mam
Namashantas Chandra Namashantas Chamam Bhaktya Nityayuta Upasate Satatam
Always
Kirtayanta Chanting Mam
Me
Yadanta
Cha
Fully endeavoring also
Vridhavrata
With determination Namashyantaha
Cha
Offering obeisances Mam
unto me
Bhaktya
in devotion
Nityayukta
perpetually engaged
Upasate
worship.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His holy name, His eternal form, His transcendental qualities, and His uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these, therefore a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmajyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or a human being. That is devotion, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smananam, and remembering Him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, and on the appearance day of the Lord, etc. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in gaining admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, this devotional service is not only easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world, even Cleveland. He can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Om Jnana Timananda Shaganam Jana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. So, you all can become Mahatmas. That's the bottom line here. This is a Mahatma training camp. We're training up Mahatmas here. You see? Not the political Mahatmas like Mahatma Gandhi, but the real Mahatmas. And what is that real Mahatma? Satatam Kirtayam Tomam, one who is 24 hours a day engaged in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhupada one time described in one lecture what it, that chanting Hare Krishna includes: hearing about Krishna, reading about Krishna, writing about Krishna, working for Krishna. He said even taking prasadam is considered chanting Hare Krishna. The only thing that's not considered is sleep. He said that is waste. But of course we need some sleep to do our service, so that's also transcendental. If we sleep just what we need to stay energized to keep on serving Krishna, and we can even be a Mahatma while we're sleeping. We can't oversleep like a bear. We take what we need so we can go on doing our service, and even that sleep, you can still be a Mahatma while you're sleeping. So this is a wonderful program. And what a result of this program, Prabhupada says it can be performed in a happy mood. There's a nice verse in chapter 9 which talks about that. And of course the Hindi word and the Sanskrit word for happiness is sukham. But the word used by Krishna is susukam, which emphasizes it's very happy. And Prabhupada translates it in his lecture as recreation. He says, this process of Krishna consciousness is simply recreation. You cannot find any point that you can say, oh Swamiji, he was Swamiji then, but it wasn't Prabhupada yet. You cannot find any point that you can say, Swamiji, this point is troublesome. Nothing at all, he said, it is simply recreation. So this is a powerful system, this Krishna consciousness system. Doesn't everybody want to enjoy like anything at every minute? Well, we have the formula to turn the whole world into a gigantic playground, where everybody is enjoying like anything at every minute. There's no Monday morning blues. You say, oh, I have to go to work again, oh God. No. But you can actually be ecstatically absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, in all times, all places, and all situations, relishing the sweetest nectar, tasting inconceivably delicious bliss that increases moment by moment by moment. That is Krishna consciousness. Now, how many of us here, honestly, are tasting the sweetest, most indescribable bliss at every second? Let's see a show of hands. Well, Prabhus, I hate to break it to you, but we're not really Krishna conscious yet. We haven't really gotten there. We're just, you know, scratching the surface. You know, we're swishing our toes in the ocean, thinking, well, maybe I'll jump in. But when you really dive into that ocean of Krishna consciousness, when you really immerse yourself in Krishna consciousness, you will taste the sweetest, most indescribable nectar at every second. It'll be delicious, absolutely delicious, every second of your existence. Because that's what we really are meant to taste. We are non-different. The happiness of a devotee is non-different from Krishna. In fact, this is the amazing thing. This is the really amazing thing that just absolutely amazes me every time I remember this. But actually the happiness of a devotee experiences is more ecstatic than the happiness that Krishna experiences. You may say, oh, come on. Don't give me some hype. No, I can prove it. Maybe you already know, but maybe some of you don't. Krishna is observing Srimati Radhman. How much Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. We all know that. He's called Ram because he's the supreme enjoyer. But so that means nobody enjoys greater than Krishna. He's the supreme enjoyer. There's no one who enjoys equal or greater than him. That's the meaning of supreme. But Krishna is watching Radharani as she's serving him. He's observing the nectar, the ecstasy, the bliss that she is experiencing by serving him. And he is absolutely amazed. He says, what is this? This isn't right. I'm the supreme enjoyer, and Radharani is my servant. She's simply seeing to my enjoyment, but I'm seeing that actually she is tasting more nectar than I am. And you know Krishna, he always likes to really, he doesn't want to miss out on anything. You know that. Krishna doesn't want to miss out on anything. So he says, okay, I'll just become a Hare Krishna and taste the nectar of being a Hare Krishna. So he becomes Lord Chaitanya. And his brother decides to join him in the fun. going to tie. So actually there's nothing more cool than being a Hare Krishna devotee, because God himself says, this is really cool, I'm going to also be a Hare Krishna. So, you know, we can, you know, God is a Hare Krishna, and he can do anything he wants. So it's really the coolest thing you can ever do, to be a devotee of Krishna. And you can actually enjoy it on a greater level than God. So the question is, okay, right now we're struggling, you know, with lust, anger, greed, laziness, you know, all that bad stuff. This huge burden of excess luggage. We're trying to, you know, make our way around this huge burden of excess luggage, like those donkeys in India, they load down with it, you know. You've seen the donkeys in India, these little tiny donkeys with this huge burden of bricks, you know. So that's what we have. We have this huge burden of bricks, of lust bricks, and anger bricks, and greed bricks, and laziness bricks, and ignorance bricks, and just struggling around and trying to carry this huge load of bricks. So how do we dump the load? How do we get free of all these bricks and actually come to pure bhakti? That's what we need to talk about, because there's really nothing more important to talk about. Each one of us is experiencing obstacles on our pathway to pure devotion, and those obstacles are simply causing us unnecessary grief, unnecessary hassle of the mind, etc. So there's nothing more important to talk about than how to overcome those obstacles and achieve pure Krishna bhakti. Actually, there's nothing more important. It's the most important topic. How to achieve pure devotional service to Krishna. How can we immerse ourselves in that state of consciousness where every thought, every word, and every deed is completely, totally pleasing to our spiritual master and to Lord Krishna in every time, every place, and every situation? That's what we want to achieve. You see, pure devotion means that everything is, you give up trying to independently enjoy. Every thought, every word, every deed, and every time, every place, every situation is simply for the pleasure of your spiritual master and Krishna. That's pure devotion. It's very simple. And when you actually get into pure devotion, and you finally get rid of all the unnecessary bricks, the crud, you actually achieve complete pure devotion. It's really amazing. It's described in the that book by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Kadambini something, very nice book, huh? Madhurya Kadambini. That those devotees who are still in this world, they're embodied persons on this plane, in the material world, they can actually achieve the highest perfection of Krishna Prema, even while they're in their material body. And in that exalted state of consciousness, when they die, they don't even realize it. That's how they're so, even the point is, even while in this material body, they're engaged in Krishna's pastimes, and they don't even know when their body, material body, dropped dead. So this is the kind of consciousness which is actually there. You can be on such a high level of Krishna consciousness that nothing in this material world even remotely can disturb you. So it's like an ocean. There's a tornado, a hurricane, a horrible, you know, tornado going on the surface. If you go down within that ocean, there's less influence of the activities on the surface of the ocean. You go a little deeper, less. Finally, you get deep enough, there's absolutely not even an insignificant infinitesimal trace of the surface agitation of that ocean when you get deep enough. So Krishna, in this Krishna consciousness process, we should always try to go deeper and deeper into Krishna bhakti. When we chant, we come together for kirtan, when we chant our japa, And when we study, when we, every time you take prasadam, you should take it in a meditative way, realizing this is the mercy of Krishna. This is not, this is Krishna himself who's appeared in this. Everything should be done in a very meditative way. Prabhupada would, if you would see how he would take prasadam, it was a very meditative experience when he would honor prasadam. So this is how we have to cultivate. On the one hand, we're externally we're very active, maybe putting on a festival, a Rathiyatra festival, doing so many things, or livelihood activities, you know, working our jobs or whatever. But that's on the one track. On the other track, we're cultivating Krishna Bhakti at every minute, whether at home, whether at work, in the kirtan, you know, wherever it may be. That ongoing internal cultivation should be always going, we should always be going deeper, trying to go deeper and deeper at every minute in the Krishna Bhakti. You see? Because that's the purpose of us movement. It's the international society for what? Krishna consciousness. If we're not cultivating Krishna consciousness, then we, you know, we're missing out on what it means to be an ISKCON devotee. Being an ISKCON devotee means that every minute to cultivate an ever-deepening awareness of love for Krishna. Krishna consciousness in itself is not enough, actually. There's two types of Krishna consciousness, anukul and pratikul. Pratikul is the Krishna consciousness of Kamsa. He was very Krishna conscious. But that's not the kind of Krishna consciousness we want. We want anukul, which means with love, bhaktya. To those who constantly worship me with love, you see, you can worship Krishna mechanically to try to get something out of him also. You see, it's like, this is very common among the Indians, you know. They have this arti song. You know, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac. Replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadish Hari. You can worship Krishna like that. You see? But that's not with love. You're trying to get something out of him. You're bringing your own motive. When we say Krishna consciousness, we say anukul. That you simply want to give yourself to Krishna. Then, my dear Lord, now I give up all independence. I am simply your property. And you know what the amazing thing is when you do that? When you can actually fully train yourself to be immersed in that subordinate attitude 24 hours a day and every time, every place and situation. You know what amazing thing happens? That Supreme Person who controls everything, who owns everything, guess what? He becomes your personal property. He becomes controlled by you. Can you imagine that? That Supreme Person who controls everything, he becomes controlled by you. That means a devotee has a bigger position than God, actually. Yashoda can chastise and tie him up. Arjuna can say, drive my chariot here, drive my chariot. By love, out of love, the devotee actually has a bigger position than God himself. So don't you just see how petty it is to be so worried about our material situation. What a petty little mentality we carry around with us, so worried about our material situation. It's very petty, very, very petty thing to be so worried about our material situation. Because if we actually come to pure Krishna Bhakti, then that person who controls the whole existence becomes our personal property. So what is the difficulty of anything? It's like you work for XYZ Corporation and it's run by your best friend. You got it, mate. Don't you worry about office politics. The person who controls the whole corporation, you're his intimate friend. and you're just there helping him run the corporation. You know, it doesn't matter what the politics are of the corporation, it doesn't even affect you. So when we actually become fixed in Krishna consciousness, then we're totally beyond all of the politics, all of the everything that's going on in this material world. We're completely beyond it. Completely beyond it. We're just in that loving relationship with God, with Krishna, relishing the sweetest nectar of his loving association. That's why we actually exist. That's why if we do not cultivate Krishna consciousness, we're cutting our throats, actually. Because Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Mutak Sarvam Pravartate, Krishna says, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds, everything emanates from me. Why is he, you may say, well, why is he doing this anyway? Why is Krishna emanating all of this from himself? Why, he's Atma Ram, why does he just sit there and enjoy himself? I mean, why is he bothering to emanate you and me and all of us from himself at every minute? Why is he bothering to emanate all these millions and billions of living entities from himself? I asked this question in Niles last night. Got the correct answer. For his enjoyment. Krishna's doing it for fun. Krishna doesn't waste his time doing things that aren't fun. He just has fun all the time. For his enjoyment, he emanates millions and billions of living entities from himself. And it's confirmed by Chanakya Pandit. A home without children is like a desert. So Krishna, he wants to fill up his life with so many children, his devotees. So you can enjoy, you can have ever-increasing loving relationships with unlimited millions and billions of living entities. Infinite number of living entities. Krishna's enjoyment is unlimited because he has unlimited number of offspring emanating from himself at every minute with whom he establishes an intimate loving relationship. You say, well, it doesn't sound like a very good deal because, wow, there's an infinite number of us and how am I ever going to get a chance to really associate with Krishna if he's so busy associating with an infinite number of living entities? Well, the good news is Krishna has the power to do that, just like he did in Dwarka. You know Dwarka, Leela. He would go to the court every day as one Krishna, and at night when he would go home to the palace, he would divide out into 16,108 forms, and every queen was thinking, oh, those poor other queens. Krishna comes to my palace every night. Well, those other queens must be, you know, buckets of tears must be filling up their palaces every night, because I'm getting Krishna every night. Krishna was able to deal with those queens in such a way that they thought that they were the only one who were getting Krishna. And Krishna is similarly disposed towards those devotees who preach Krishna consciousness. This is a little extra, you know, carrot to encourage us to preach, because Krishna says there's no one more dear to me than the one who preaches. You see, that person, there's never been anyone more dear to me than that devotee who preaches. So, but what do you say, but if there's a millions of preachers, and how can any one of them be the most dear? Actually, every one of them can be the most dear, because Krishna, just like in Dwarka, every queen was indeed the most dear. So every preacher can be reciprocated with Krishna in that personal, intimate way, as if that devotee is the most dear of all of Krishna's devotees. So never underestimate the power of Krishna to reciprocate love with you, each and every one of us, you see. We should never underestimate the power of Krishna to personally and intimately deal with us in ways that are just outrageously amazing and wonderful. So we should really, the bottom line is that we should really go for the nectar, because it's unlimited nectar available, and it doesn't have to be somewhere out there, you know, after we leave our body, the time of death. We just kind of, you know, struggle through and chant Hare Krishna and hope for the best at death. No. We should strive for pure devotional service right here, right now. Be here now. Krishna consciousness, be here now. Be Krishna conscious in the here and now, because there's full nectar, there's unlimited nectar available for us right here, right now. We don't have to wait for next year, tomorrow, the time of death. We don't have to. There's unlimited nectar available right here, right now. This is actually the most opportune moment in the history of the universe. This very moment is happening right now. The most opportune moment. We simply have to capitalize on it to the fullest extent. while becoming very, very serious that I must become a pure devotee. We should be pushing ourselves that I must become a, at every minute we should be pushing ourselves at every, at this moment now I must become a pure devotee, right now. Totally give up my material desires, totally give up my material attachments, completely just surrender my heart and soul to Lord Krishna and to my spiritual master. Let me do it right now. But every moment we should be thinking that way. Whether, even if you're sitting at a traffic light waiting for it to turn green. What are you going to do? You can be meditating. Well, this, let me achieve pure devotion. What are you going to do? Every second, every possible minute we should be thinking like that while we're doing our service. Let me do this service in such a wonderful way that Krishna, as Mother Bhakti Siddhanta said, he said, don't try to see God, but try to act in such a way that Krishna will want to come see you. So whatever we're doing at every minute, whether I'm giving a class, I'm hearing a class, I'm chanting my rounds, I'm serving prasadam to the devotees, whatever I'm doing, I should try to do it in such a sweet and wonderful and loving way that Krishna will go, let me go see this devotee. Let me see him. You see, Prabhupada actually told me in one letter, he said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. He wasn't saying at the time of death, because I had asked him, I had been a songwriter before I joined the movement, so I was asking about writing songs for Krishna. And Prabhupada was giving me a hint on how I could write songs on the same level of Bhakti, Vinod, and Narottam, which is the real level that Prabhupada was encouraging me to. He said, come to that level and write songs on that level. He was encouraging me to come to that level, and he said, you just had to come to the point of being able to see Krishna face to face, and then you can write songs like Narottam, Bhakti, Vinod. He was encouraging me to come to that level of perfection, spiritual perfection, where I could write songs on the same level as the Acharyas. Of course, I'm a million miles away from it. But the point is, it is attainable, it is reachable. Prabhupada would not tell us to do something which is impossible to achieve. You see? The point is, we can achieve that level of perfection. We simply have to become very, very sincere, very, very dedicated, very, very absorbed in this absolutely ecstatic process of Krishna consciousness. And if we don't do it, what are we doing? We're drinking poison knowingly. Narottam Das is telling us, you don't. He's taking our position. Actually, he's a fully enlightened self. Although I've come to this human form, my Lord, I've spent my life uselessly. I did not care for Radha and Krishna, and so I swallow poison foolishly. Narottam, he's saying like that. So, we got everything we need to achieve perfection. We got a human form. We have Prabhupada to guide us. We have so many wonderful Prabhupada disciples and grand disciples of Prabhupada to inspire us in our Krishna consciousness. We have so much facility. We have so much facility, but what are we doing? We're spinning our wheels. We're not going forward. You see? We're just spinning our wheels in sense gratification, not moving forward. So what's the solution for this, for our ridiculous position that we're in right now? Well, you know what Bhakti Siddhanta said. He said, every morning you beat your mind with shoes 100 times, and every night with broom 100 times. So we have to be very, very strict with ourselves individually. Of course, we're very lenient with the other devotees, but ourselves we should be very strict. So I must become a pure devotee today. I have to give up my laziness, my foolishness. I have to become a pure devotee and not cheat myself anymore out of the unlimited nectar which is available from this ultimate system of self-realization. There's so many self-realizations. There's karma yoga, jnana yoga, so many types of processes of elevating the consciousness. But this Krishna bhakti, bhakti yoga, it is the ultimate system of self-realization. In this age, it is so easy to become enlightened that actually those persons who are learned in Vedic wisdom worship the Kali Yuga. They say this is the best of all possible ages to become self-realized. So we should never lament that, oh, why couldn't I have been there 5,000 years ago when Krishna was there? Or actually, this is the very best time, and it's the easiest, simplest time to become perfect. All you have to do is take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, chant the holy names, absorb yourself in reading and following Prabhupada's teachings, and you'll be amazed how everything, how your whole life is completely transformed. Completely, totally transformed. So, perhaps there's some questions. Any questions? Yes.
Is that okay to feel all the time that we are not doing enough?
Is it? Was it?
Yes.
If you can feel I'm not doing enough, then you're on the right track. That's right. I'm not chanting as purely as I could be. I'm not hearing as attentively as I could be. I'm not serving with as much enthusiasm as I could be. I'm not as kind to the devotees as I could be. If you're feeling that way, then you are really on the right track. That is the most wonderful attitude. To feel that I am lacking Krishna consciousness, somehow I have to get it. I don't have enough of it, somehow I have to get more of it. That is the perfect attitude for making very, very steady, solid advancement in Krishna consciousness. I'm most pleased with that question. Any other questions? Yes.
Thank you for speaking first. You were speaking about how we should always be thinking that we need to fully surrender every moment to Guru and Krishna.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could assert some practical methods maybe to like constantly remember this, because you know, chances are I'll probably walk out of here and not.
How do you keep that remembrance always? Well, the point that I, the actual point that was made can be, that I made can be reflected on again and again and again. That I have to, my duty is to surrender to Krishna. You can find some verses which remind you of that, for example, Sarvadharman Puritrajo, Mame Kam Shadam Raja. You can find some verses that remind you of that, and you can recite those verses. You can put a note on your bathroom mirror that, you know. There's so many techniques, it's just a matter, if you have a desire to fully surrender to Guru and Krishna, absolutely, totally surrender, and you really want to do it, is the only real desire of your life, then Krishna will give you the intelligence. You see, he'll give you the intelligence how to actually accomplish it. But the best thing is to find devotees who also want to do that. Find devotees who are in the same mood of wanting to be fully surrendered to Guru and Krishna right now. You want to become pure devotees right now. Find those type of devotees and serve them with love, associate with them, hear from them, learn from them. Association is the key. Find those devotees who are very serious to achieve pure bhakti and latch onto their association very tightly. And you will naturally, by the power of association, imbibe that spirit yourself. Questions, Mark? Yeah.
Along with,
are you Rick?
Yes.
Okay. Jai.
Jai. Thank you for coming here. I enjoy your speaking very much. Along with both of those questions, I especially felt when I was very new to this movement that when you're trying to attain that thought process of always striving to be better and always striving to be closer to Krishna and becoming a more perfect devotee, you're always falling short. And especially when one is new, especially when one is newly associated with this organization, you tend to find yourself in a situation where you're finding that maybe I can't do this. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe this is not for me. So my question is, how do you advise those new people that are starting to say, wow, this is so easy, but it's so hard.
You already have it. You have pure Krishna bhakti already in your heart. You see? You have it. It's not that you don't have it. You are actually a pure devotee of Krishna right now. But it's just some fog has come in and covered it. You see? actually you have an eternal identity in the spiritual world in one of five rasas with Krishna. You have an eternal identity in the spiritual world. You are one of Krishna's eternal associates, actually. But you've forgotten that, and you've identified with this gross lump called the material body. For millions of lifetimes you've been doing this. So it's become very, very remote. That connection you have is extremely remote. It's so remote, it's practically non-existent, but it's still there. So all you have to do is plug into the association, the proper association, and then that can be revived. It's the same thing I told him, this nice devotee here. It's simply a matter of plugging into the proper association. You have everything it takes to become a pure devotee in this lifetime. You have everything it takes to become a pure devotee right now at this minute, actually. You just have to let go of your attachment to the fog, the illusion. You have to have some faith, actually. Yashya deve para bhaktir tatha deve tatha guru tashayate katitar prakashante mahatmanah. Unto those souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and the words of script of Krishna, all the imports of Vedas become automatically revealed to them. So you simply have to have unflinching faith that this person who is speaking to me, this science of Krishna consciousness, if you can find the right person who is presenting the pure Siddhanta without any deviation, who's following the teachings purely and strictly, he's presenting the philosophy perfectly, and you can put complete faith in his words and in the words of Krishna as spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, then the full understanding of all the Vedic wisdom will become just like a rising sun within your heart. For you, the material world will be totally transformed. It's like when you actually have that degree of faith in Guru and Krishna, it's like flipping a switch and the whole world becomes illuminated. You'll be able to see Krishna within everything. You'll be able to see everything within Krishna. You'll be able to hear Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. And this way you'll connect with Krishna in all ways. With your mind, with your eyes, with your ears, with your nose, your sense of touch. These things happen when your eyes become anointed with the ointment of love of God. Premanjana sharita bhakti valochanena. You will actually experience Krishna everywhere. So you do have what it takes. Don't ever think that you don't have what it takes. You have the human body. You have the proper association of bona fide spiritual masters, Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. You have so many wonderful followers of Prabhupada that you have so much facility. Disciples, grand disciples of Prabhupada, you have so much facility. You're connected with the most powerful spiritual master in the history of the universe. The most highly empowered, realized spiritual master is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. You're so tightly connected with him. All you have to do is grab on tight and hold on and you're set. Just like in India. You've been to India? Yeah, well in India, a lot of people don't have cars, but they have bicycles. So, you've seen. You've been to India? Yeah. So you'll see the truck going down to the bus and the bicycle rider is holding onto the bus. He may have to go 30 kilometers to his village, but no problem. Just hang on to the bus and he goes 30 kilometers with no effort, you see. So, you may not be that Krishna conscious, but you may know someone who is. Just hold on. And you'll get a free ride. That's really the secret of success. That's why we have to take shelter of a spiritual master. We can't do it on our own strength. If we can become humble enough to take shelter of a spiritual master, one who is actually fixed, a real guru who is actually fixed solidly in Krishna consciousness,
then all we have to do is hold on, as Prabhupada, you know, just like we used to say, just hold on to Prabhupada's dhoti. That's all you have to do. Just hang on to Prabhupada's dhoti. That's all you have to do. So if you can put your faith and just totally hang on to the bona fide spiritual master, the bona fide acharyas that are blessing us at every minute through their books, through their writings, through their remembrance, through their photographs, in so many means, through the wonderful devotees that you have here in Cleveland, you see, not only Guru, but all the Vaishnavas are worshipable. Narottam says, Anande bolo hari bhaja vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava pade maja miyama. He says, ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, worship Shri Vrindavan Dham, and always in your heart meditate on the lotus feet of Shri Guru and Shri Vaishnavas. So we worship not only our spiritual master's lotus feet, we worship the lotus feet of all the devotees. When Krishna was in the Rajasuya Yajna, you know what service he did? He washed everyone's feet. Krishna did wash everyone who attended the yajna. Krishna personally washed all their feet. That was the service he took. So all the devotees are actually worshipable. All these devotees, we can wash their feet and take that foot bathing water on our head. All these Vaishnavas, they are great personalities actually, not just the spiritual masters. All the devotees are worshipable personalities actually. So if we have no power. But if we take shelter of Guru and Vaishnavas, then it becomes very, very easy thing, like those bicycle riders. You simply have to be intelligent, that's all. Find the right association and grab hold tight. And then you just go for an easy ride back to home, back to God. Prabhupada says right here, it's easy. You may say, how you can say it's easy, but Prabhupada says right here, this devotional service is not only easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. So you can be happy, genuinely happy, 24 hours a day if you simply take up Krishna consciousness as your life's work. Simple thing. I want to become Krishna conscious, that's the whole goal of my life. You're really in that mood, you'll be happy all the time. I guarantee you, if you're fixed in that mood, you'll be completely happy and satisfied in every time, every place, every situation. You got what it takes, Rick, Dr. Rick. Now go for it. No more taking birth again. This is, make this your life, determined. No more taking birth. I'm going to achieve pure devotion. You should affirm that within your heart. I will achieve pure devotion as soon as possible by my intense desire to do so, my dedication to doing so. Questions, Mark? Yes?
A question regarding chanting. Some days I can chant 16 miles with no problem.
Yeah.
And other days I might do 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a rule for that? If you chant 16, should you stay at that? Like sometimes I'm so, it's like anxiety trying to finish because I did it one time. And I know you're not supposed to feel that while you're chanting, so should I just try to lower it and not do that?
No, it's always good to keep up the chanting.
So it doesn't matter if you do 16.
You can break it up into other sessions, and if for some reason you don't finish, you can always make it up the next day. But the easiest way is this. This is a technique I've suggested to some people. It may not be practical according to your schedule, but if you can do this according to your daily schedule, this is a very good technique which will guarantee that you chant 16 rounds every day, and that is, don't eat until you finish your rounds every day. Yeah, oh, you're on thought for the day. Yeah, that you don't, that's not a rule that you have to do that, because it may not be practical according to someone's schedule. But that, if you can do that according to your work schedule and your household duty schedule, whatever, that's an easy way to make sure, because your belly will force you to finish your rounds. That I won't eat until I finish my rounds every day. If I have to skip a meal, you know, take my plate with me to work and have it at lunchtime or whatever. I mean, it may not be always practical, but that kind of an attitude, even if you can't follow that technique to the letter, that kind of attitude about your chanting will
carry you through every day to 16. 16 is the number that Prabhupada gave us. It says, because Prabhupada gave us that number hundreds of times, he said 16 rounds. Actually, Krishna, in this verse, saying that we should chant 24 hours. Satatang kirtayam tomam, we should constantly chant. But in our present day world situation, how many of us can just be sadhus and sit down on the bank of the holy river and just chant japa 24 hours a day like Haridas Thakur? Not practical.
Where does 16 come from?
Huh? Yes. Traditionally, 64 rounds was the number. But, and then Prabhupada instructed his followers in New York that they should chant every day 64 rounds. But they said, oh, Swamiji, we cannot do it. It's not possible. Said, all right, you chant 32 rounds every day. Oh, Swamiji, we cannot do 32. So it's just a half of, it's 64 cut in half twice. That's where Prabhupada came up with the number. It was his concession. Now, we really can't say, all right, now we'll cut it down even further because, you know, cut it down to one round every day, maybe one beat every day. I mean, we have to do the austerity of 16 rounds. To become initiated disciple, you know, one has to do that. Because if you can't do at least 16 rounds, then you'll have so much karma that's not really over, it's not enough. Here's a good example. Let's say you're treading water in the ocean, you fell off a ship and you're in the ocean trying to save yourself. Keep yourself alive long enough till the rescue people come. All you have to do is keep yourself high enough where your nose is above water. If you're even one inch lower, you will drown. You don't have to be like five, you know, not that you're entire. You have to be this far out of the water or this far out of the water. If you're this far out of the water, then you will survive. So 16 rounds get you this far out of the water. You see? Where you can breathe and you won't be... It gives you enough spiritual potency where the modes will not just pull you back under. That's the minimum amount you can chant that will keep you from being sucked into back into the material ocean. If you go down to 15, you'll be inhaling water instead of air, salt water. So you really, 16 is important. It's a vital number. You cannot lower it. Yes. What is it? Yes, in the beginning, because you haven't taken initiation, right?
Some things I'm just so inspired though, I feel no problem, I feel like.
Yeah. Now in the beginning, you can chant a lesser number as you're training yourself for initiation. That's a fact. But here's the little, you've raised a very interesting point. What is your name?
Heather. I'm actually...
Heather?
Yes.
Yes. So this is an interesting point, that some days I don't feel the inspiration. There's an interesting story in this regard. One of the early devotees in our movement, his name was Gargamuni. And when the etiquette is, when the spiritual master enters the room, all the disciples bow down. So everyone would bow down when Prabhupada came down from his quarters to give a lecture in the temple room, except for Gargamuni. He raised his hand and the question and answer, he said, Swamiji, he was still Swamiji then, he said, Swamiji, everyone else bows down, but I do not bow down because I don't feel the inspiration to do so. Is that all right? It doesn't feel natural for me. And Prabhupada said, you should bow down because by doing so, then the inspiration will come. So it's a fact. Let's face the reality. The modes of nature are still affecting us a lot. Some days we're in the mode of goodness and we can feel like we can chant 100 rounds. Some days the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance set in, and it's difficult. It's something we all go through. You're not the only one. Join the club. So, the trick is, that if you go ahead and do it, even when you do not feel the inspiration, do it as a matter of duty, that Srila Prabhupada wants me to chant at least 16 rounds every day. You see? Do it as a matter of duty and make that a regular habit. And then you will find that the inspiration, you will gradually develop a consciousness where you feel inspired to do it every single day without fail. And that is an ecstatic state of mind to be in. So it takes some effort at the beginning. It's like you have children. How many children?
Three.
How many of them know how to read? They all know how to read?
One.
So in the beginning, a child doesn't want to sit down and learn A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. In the beginning, they don't want to learn all that. Why? I just want to run and play. Why do I have to learn the alphabet? I don't want to learn and read, you know. A child doesn't want to learn how to read in the beginning. But don't they get a taste and then they're reading on their own after a while? So you're just like a little child that doesn't want to, you know, you're struggling to learn how to read right now. It's a chore for you right now, sometimes. But if you go ahead and do it, and this is what my teacher is telling me to do, teacher says I have to do this, so therefore I have to do it because teacher says I have to do it. Then you just do it because teacher says you have to, and you're a student. And then, by dint of you're making progress by being submissive to the order of the spiritual master, then you will come to the point where you will just relish it like anything. In fact, there is so much nectar in one pure utterance of Krishna that the entire universe cannot even contain that much nectar. So believe me, it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it to discipline yourself, to learn how to absorb yourself in chanting at least 16 rounds every day. It's the greatest thing you can ever do. It'll make you more successful than Bill Gates. More successful than anybody in this material world if you can just develop a taste for chanting 16 rounds every day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying for him. You know that song? Aparada guchi shudaname ruchi kriba bole habe hrido ye sancha kabe habe bolo se dinama. When my offense is ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine, when oh when will that day be mine. He's hankering for that day when he can chant 16 rounds and taste the nectar. Of course, he probably chanted a lot more, I'm making a point. He's putting himself in your position out of kindness. He's putting himself in the position of someone who doesn't have a taste for the name, who is not inspired to chant. And he's saying, when will that day come when I feel really inspired to chant Hare Krishna? So you should hanker for that day. You should pray. But now I don't have sufficient inspiration. Krishna, please bless me that I can develop a taste so I can just dive unlimitedly in the sweet nectar of your holy name, to, you know, every day, at least 16 rounds. If you have that desire, if you have the realization that this is worthy of striving for, that's the first thing. Do you have that realization? This is worthy? Yes. Then you've got it 90%. You've got the battle 90% won already. Just that last 10% you have to work on. Of just making it a practical reality by discipline, like that young girl who wants to be a star ballerina, who has to just do the practice every day. So you just have to do that practice, and then it will manifest. I absolutely guarantee. If you sincerely do this, as I have instructed you today, and it doesn't work, then I will give you $10,000 cash. It works. Otherwise, I'd be broke. I've been promising this for years, everywhere I go. $10,000 offer. And no one's ever come forward for the $10,000, because this process works. If you follow the instructions I've given you with full sincerity, you will taste the nectar. I guarantee it. Absolutely guarantee it. You really dive into it, you'll be swimming in an ocean of nectar. questions more? Yeah.
In this Kali Yuga that we're living at, I mean, sometimes through our daily life at work or at any other aspects of life, we face some difficulties and we have a hard time being concentrated.
Yeah.
Is it too selfish of us to beg Krishna, to ask God to show us or to let us feel His presence more in our life?
It is selfish if you don't do that. You must do that. You should pray to Krishna that, please, my dear Lord, let me be so immersed in Krishna consciousness that I can stay absorbed in Krishna consciousness in all times, in all places, in all situations. You should be so expert in Krishna consciousness that you go to XYZ Corporation on Monday morning and report in for work, that you will actually see that this corporation is an emanation from Krishna. And I must engage this energy in His service. You should have that vision every Monday morning, that XYZ Corporation is the energy of Krishna and it must be engaged in His service. You see? Actually, Prabhupada gives a very nice example. In South India, there are some dancers. They do an incredibly amazing dance steps, twisting, twirling and jumping and so many things. But the most amazing thing of all is they keep clay water pots balanced on their heads the entire time that they are dancing, and they never fall off. That's the most amazing thing. So your job at XYZ Corporation is your dancing, your intricate dancing you do, expert dancing. But that Krishna Bhakti is your clay pot on the head, you see. So how are they able to do that? How are they able to perform all those intricate, elaborate, you know, incredible gymnastics and never lose the balance of the clay pot on the head? Because they practiced. By practice they become experts. So you have to practice how to become so deeply absorbed in Krishna Bhakti that you do not lose that absorption even when you're working your karmic job. You can stay fully connected with Krishna even while you're at work. That art you have to master. When our householders can master this art, then we will capture the whole world, I guarantee you. When our householders in large numbers can master this art of being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness at every minute, even when they're their jobs, then this movement will capture the whole world. That will happen. So you can actually help, just by learning how to be Krishna conscious on the job, you will be an undercover spiritual revolutionary, helping Prabhupada to take over the world, yes. So go for it. Develop that ability. Any more questions? This is such a wonderful process. There's nothing so sweet. There's nothing at all sweet except for Krishna consciousness. Everything else is bitter. It's bitter poison. This is the only sweet thing that exists, Bhaktivinoda confirms. There is nothing to be had but the name in all the 14 worlds. Everything else is just poison. It's all poison except for Krishna consciousness. So how can we hanker for anything else? It's utter foolishness to hanker for anything else except pure Krishna Bhakti. Utter foolishness. So why are we such fools? We have to get off this foolish platform. Come to pure Krishna Bhakti right now. Do you agree or not agree?
There's nothing to disagree with.
Yes, there can be no disagreement. There can be no disagreement. We are preaching Vaishnava Siddhanta. There can be no, amongst learned circles, there can be no disagreement on these points. No disagreement. It's not possible. This is the absolute truth. It's not relative, it's absolute. So, I think we can stop here. I think maybe there's prasadam now, or what's, yes. So I thank you all very much for so kindly opening your hearts to us and welcoming us here to this wonderful preaching spot in the ISKCON world, the Cleveland ISKCON devotees. I'm so happy to finally come here and see how wonderfully you're engaged in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.